the word of God that we're about to hear. Lord, I've told you in my office that I really don't know how to preach this sermon. And I make the same confession before your people this morning. I'm asking you, Lord God, that you will take over these lips of clay. Give me divine unction and mighty ability to be able to let the people know what is deep down in your heart. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verse 10 through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 18. Oh, may I throw in, as you open your Bibles, something that crossed my mind that I cannot say it's of the Holy Spirit. But I'm beginning to feel funny about Hudson River. I believe there are some spirits that live inside that river that are out to destroy people. They tried it a few months ago, they failed. And they tried again yesterday and they succeeded. If God ever lays it on your heart to pray for New York City, I want you to take authority over Hudson River. There are some mermaid spirits and some demonic personalities that live inside that water that are hungry and thirsty for people's blood. They will not take your blood in the name of Jesus. They will not take the blood of anyone you know in the name of Jesus. We even decree that the ones they took last Saturday, which is yesterday, will be the last they will ever take in the name of Jesus. If you ever drive past Hudson River, just stretch your hands towards it and say, I take authority over you spirits that are in here. We used to have a lady in this church, not in this church, but in the former church where I was, who used to be part of a group in this city that worship water spirits. She told me every time at 12 o'clock during break time, they will buy lunch and go to the banks of the Hudson River and literally feed the spirits. Feed the spirits. There's a lot going on around us that the naked eyes don't see. And one of the ways we can help people around us is to take authority over these unseen forces and get the victory that we need. And we shall be more than conquerors in the name of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Last Sunday, I made you a promise that I will do a follow-up on the service that we had last Sunday. And that is exactly what I would like to do this morning. From what we all saw here last week, no one need to convince you that we live in a world that is polluted by unseen spirits. Every one of you that were here last Sunday will also agree with me that these fallen spirits love to oppress and many times possess people. But I also hope that there is no more doubt in your mind that even when a person is a Christian, it is possible to be under the influence of these spirits. These fallen angels do not like us. They love to oppress and they love to possess human beings and cause all kinds of problems in our lives. One of the ladies that came last Sunday, it also happened to be her very first Sunday of coming to this church. She told me she had been bleeding for a long, long, long time. And the problem was as a direct result of a witchcraft attack from her very own husband, from whose hand she had suffered many, many diabolical things. Because of the problem with bleeding, she had lost about 50% of her blood count. And the doctors told her if she did not go through blood transfusion, she may end up just passing out one day and never recovering. Doctors told her they will want to scrape her womb, but for reasons best known to her, she refused. And she said, I would rather trust God. God knew her problem was not physical. God knew her problem was not medical. It was a spiritual problem. And she came to service last week. She listened intently to the things that I said. And we started calling the spirits out. I didn't even see her during the service, but she was here. And she told me afterwards, she said, Bishop, you won't believe this. The bleeding of so many months immediately after the service completely stopped. Go ahead and give him praise. Completely stopped. Why did the bleeding stop? The bleeding wasn't caused by fibroids. The bleeding wasn't caused by something that would necessitate the scraping of a womb. The bleeding was caused by a spirit of witchcraft that was attached to her, that was sapping her life away from her. But when the spirit came in contact with the power of the living God, no hands were laid on her, neither did she fall out in the spirit. The moment the spirit left her, the problem that the spirit brought upon her also departed. By the grace of God, every affliction in your life that is caused by any spirit, the Lord shall deliver you. The Lord shall rescue you. The Lord shall bring you out. Don't forget, every first Sunday of every month, we'll be doing this spiritual wrestling in various forms, in various ways. Don't miss the one for September. But back on our scripture for today, Jesus had won the battle for us. But not only did he win the battle, he also won the war. And now Paul was able to say by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that, listen, even though the battle has been won, those who want to fight are still very much around. So in verse 12, he said, we, including he, Paul. You know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how deep you are. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord. You are one of those involved in the battle. He said, we all wrestle. But he said, we wrestle not against flesh and against blood. And then he goes on to describe the ones that we wrestle with. He says, we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. I can preach on those verses, but that's not my focus. But I want you to notice something at the end of verse number 12. The Holy Spirit describes what these spirits do. It says they are spiritual wickedness in high places. Their name is a description of exactly what they do. But the good news is that God has not left us defenseless against these forces, against these powers, against the spiritual wickedness. That's why he made provision for the armor in verse 13 through verse 18. He says we should take unto us the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to be able to stand. Turn to someone and tell them, you will stand. You will not fall. In the name of Jesus. It says, stand therefore in verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth. Now he begins to describe all the components of the armor. He begins with the loin, the belt, around the waist. The belt is actually the one that holds all the other ones together. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. That's the first one. Number two, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number four, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Number five, it talks about the helmet of salvation in verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he rounds it up and says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now you will have thought, going through this list, that every Christian should be untouchable. You will have thought, going through this list, that every Christian should be invincible and above every spiritual attack. But you and I know that our experience is not always so. Now that has led me to ask questions. And that has led me to study my Bible and to study the lives of people around me. And I'm happy to tell you this morning that I think I have found the answer as to why God's people are most, for the most part, victims and not victors. I want you to please lend me your ears for the next 45 minutes, because I want to show you what major provision God has made, which unfortunately we Christians neglect, and it has resulted in defeat and not victory. If you look at the list in verses 13 through 14, you will notice that God picks out one part of the armor. And it seems to say this one is the most important. This one is the most essential. Now, that is not to say that the others are not necessary, but it says if you are to walk in victory, you must major in this one. What is that one thing? It's in verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. Let's go. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Did you all read that? Let's read it again. I'm not going to read with you. Above all, Read as if you are not fasting. Read. How many of you majored in English in college? What does above all signify? When you're talking and you say, above all. Most important of all. All right? What else does above all signify? Fundamentally. What is the meaning of fundamentally? See, his pastor said last week that the church where he raised him, they speak a lot of grammar there. Fundamentally. All right? Above all. What else? Primarily. Most important of all. This is the key here. If you do, he said number one, if you do this and you do that and you do that, but if you don't do this one, you'll never have the victory. You see, the reason why you and I are defeated most of the time is because the one that is most important, we have not paid attention to it. God knew what he was saying when he directed Paul by the Holy Spirit to tell you and I that in spiritual warfare, above every other weapon that you have, this one, above all, this one. You know, I remember when I was in high school years ago, I don't know how the teachers in my school and the principal in my school came up with this conspiracy. They said they wanted us to major in mathematics and in English. So they raised the bar. And they said, literature, English literature, 100. French, 100. Latin, 100. But English grammar and mathematics is 300. So if you score 20, if you score 20 over 300, before you catch up, you have to score high in all the other subjects. So everyone that went to the school where I went, go ask them. We took English grammar and mathematics very seriously because it could fail you and make you repeat a class. Folks, let's say every other weapon is 100. This one right here, called faith, is 1,000. If you fail in it, witches will overcome you. Even speaking in tongues. If you fail it, wizards will overcome you, even though you pray for 3 hours every day. It says, above all. Everybody say, above all. Say, Father, give me the grace. Some come on, say, give me the grace to make faith my number one focus. See, you already have faith. You already have it. You're already a Christian. You already love God. You're already in Christ. So it's not a matter of, God, give me faith. Lord, give me faith. No, you already have it. When the disciples prayed to the Lord, they did not say, God, give us faith. But rather they said what? Lord, do what? Increase. What has to be increased is already in your possession. So when they said increase it, and that goes to tell you how important faith is. Lord, increase our faith. Now, you already have it. But you know what it says? It says, take it. You can have something and not take it. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? You can have it, but not take it. So he said, above all that you take, you've already taken salvation, it's in your head. You've already taken the word of God, it's around your waist. You've already taken the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you tell people about your testimony. You've already taken all that. But this one is the only one that he said, don't forget it. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, what does it say after that? Let's read it. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench what? Now, that means that arrows are shot from time to time. All right? And it says, if you will take this weapon, which happens to be a defensive, not an offensive weapon. It says, if you will take it, you will be able to do what? Quench. All, not some. All, not most. All, not many. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now we can blame it then. That if the fiery darts of the wicked come against me and succeed, something has to be wrong with my faith. And so the challenge that I want to throw out to you this morning is that you will leave this place and focus on the number one thing that you need. And that is what? Faith. Trust in God. Confidence in God. Believe in God when it comes to spiritual warfare. Oh, did you know the enemy knows who is afraid and who is not? Did you know when you are in a battle, the enemy knows who is afraid and who is... In fact, there is a saying in my village. That if you don't have voodoo and you don't have money, but you have bold faith. You do hear what I say? If you have what? Bold faith. Do you know there are people who have literally delivered themselves in terrible situations just for bold faith? Just bold faith. When the enemy is coming and is throwing things at them and they just use bull, they say, I dare you, come, come, come. Touch me. He has nothing, no? He has nothing. And he say, I dare you, try it. He rolls his pants and he removes it. He says, try it. You will know that when they give birth to me, they cook me in hot water. You are in trouble. Try it, my friend. And they say, God, I don't mean anything. He doesn't have anything. But you know what he has? Bold face. God will give you bold face. God will even when you are afraid inside, outside you are still showing bold face. The enemy is looking for some bold face. Can I hear an amen from you? See, that is what he said. He said, above all, taking the shield of bold face. And now this bold face is not just a presumptuous bold face. It's a bold face in the faithfulness of God. It's a bold face in the goodness. Why do you think David was able to conquer Goliath? No, you answer me. Why do you think he was able to conquer Goliath? If not by faith. If not by bold faith. I'm just using today's language. All right? For 40 days. Listen to this. Twice a day. That is how many times? 80 times. Goliath came out. This mighty giant. He came out. And the Bible says he defied. He defied the armies of God. The armies of the living God. You see, I defy you. Send somebody. Let them come and fight. And I will show you, Pepe. Our enemies have more bold face than we do. That's what the problem is. So when they saw the bold face of Goliath, the king with all his armor on. See, you can have armor on. But if you don't have this bold face, and I'm talking about bold faith, it's not going to get you anywhere. And so they were all hiding. They were all hiding somewhere. Then David showed up. Not to fight, really, but to give food. to his fearful brothers. Turn to someone, God will deliver you from fear. That's the greatest deliverance you need. Deliverance from fear. Hey, you dream a little dream, you are panting. Instead of using bold face, and you say, how dare you? If you are really bold, why come against me in my dream? Come in real life. And then you draw a circle in your house. And you say, Satan, I dare you step in the middle of that circle in the name of the Lord. And I will show you pepper and peppermint. He said, who is that guy? He said, who is this? Defying the armies of God. And his brother, Eliah. He said, we know why you are here. Yeah, I've come to spy out. Yeah, you see, when you are manifesting faith, be careful of those who are fearful. They will come to you and counsel you. They will come to you and advise you. They will come to you and say you have an agenda for trusting God. But David just stood there and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why God brought me here? And then he went and said, take me to the king. And then he took him to the king. And he said, sir, who is this guy? Doesn't he know the God that destroyed Pharaoh in the Red Sea? Doesn't he know the God with whom all things are possible? Doesn't he know the God that dried up River Jordan? And he's talking like this to his people. And you people are crouching. Those that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. You will do exploits. Turn to somebody and tell them you will do exploits. In the name of Jesus. You will do exploits. But it takes faith. It takes this thing called bold faith to do the exploits. And so the king, I love David. You know, when you have faith, you know how to negotiate. He said, what are you going to give to the one that kills him? Or you gonna be, nothing goes for nothing. When you have faith, you're going to get what those who don't have faith get. He said, all right, I'll deal with him. But before I deal with him, what's in it? What's in it? There's something in it. Can I repeat myself? There is something in it for those that trust God. And so they finished that negotiation. And then the old man, look at the old man. The old man who is supposed to be leading God's people. So filled with fear and crouching. And he said, all right. You're a little child. You're a little child. This man will kill you. This man has been fighting this war for all his life. And then you, a little boy, you will just die young. He said, leave that to me and God. And so he said, all right, if you want to go, that's fine. Your father still have other children. So even if you die, he will be comforted by other children. So he said, take my armor and put it on. And David put the thing on. It weighed him now. He looked at the old man. He said, I've not tried this before. He said, I've not tried this before. Many things I've not tried before. This is one of them. And because I've not tried this before, I can't put it on. Let me tell you something. When you are going through troubles and problems in life, people will bring to you things that you have not tried before. They'll bring you soap and they try this to take a shower. They bring you sponge. They say, try this one. They'll bring you a candle. They say, try this one. They'll bring you incense. They say, try this one. But you see, you know what? I've tried many things. God is enough for me. I don't need anybody else. I don't need something else. I want God and nothing else. Come on, let me put your hands together and give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, I've never tried this. I don't need this. I don't want this. They said, this guy really wants to kill himself. He said, Daddy, you don't understand. I've been where you have never been. I've tasted what you have never tasted. I've experienced what you have never experienced. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us have experienced so many good things that our faith should be strong by now. But we seem to forget all that the Lord has done. He said, I was in the wilderness. The lion came. I killed it. The bear came. And I killed it. And the same God who helped me to keep... Hey! If he can do it once, he can do it twice. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back, but I will rather go forward. I want to say to you this morning, Keep on going forward. Keep on going forward. You are not going to stand. You are not going to stay. You are going forward. And every lion, every bear, every Goliath in your path is moving out of your way. In the holy boldness. Trust in the faithfulness of the Almighty God. And he got up, took 5 stones. See, Goliath has some other brothers. So he said, in case they show up, his remaining 4 brothers, I use the remaining 4 stones on them. I mean, that's what faith does. Faith always comes prepared. All right? Faith is not presumptuous. And then he got there. The man looked at him. The man was so strong. Huh? Somebody literally carried his shield for him. That's how tall he was. And there was this little boy. You know what he said? He said, I curse you in the name of my gods. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air to eat by the time this thing is over. And David said, this man doesn't know what's coming to him. This man doesn't know that he has come against a man that has the shield of faith. I may not have all the things you have on. I may not have all the shield that is in front of you. I may not have all the spear that is in front of you. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. And it's... That's all you need. That's all you need. He looked at Goliath, said, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That head on your neck is coming out, and it's coming up. And I can see people saying, how can somebody be like this? How can this boy do like this? How can this? Yes, he lost his mind. This man, this boy is going to kill himself. He's not married. Neither does he have children. He's going to be forgotten. But no, 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 no. That song says, I'm not forgotten. I'm not forgotten. I'm not forgotten. I'm not forgotten. God knows my name. And God was looking down from heaven. It says the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will go before you to battle. You will not be a loser. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Walk in faith. Walk in confidence. My friend Dr. Adewuya, who came and preached for me one Sunday here, he's one that always loved to say faith never fails. It never fails. It never fails. God always honors it. And he said, what I did to the lion, I'll do to you. What I did to the bear, I'll do to you. You're coming there. And it just went like that. Just went like that. And he threw that stone. One stone found a space in the very forehead of Goliath. Went straight in. And the man came tumbling down. And he had no sword. He had to run on top of him. Stand on top. Oh, you will stand upon your enemies. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will stand upon your problems. Don't worry. They may be standing this moment. But the very next moment they will be on the floor. And you will be standing victorious. In the mighty name of Jesus. Didn't he say you shall tread upon serpents. And upon scorpions. And upon all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Turn to someone and tell them, where is your faith? Oh God, if we will only believe God, if we will only trust God, if we only believe the one with whom all things are possible, my Lord have mercy. Goliath came tumbling down. He pulled out the sword of Goliath, the sword, hallelujah, that was meant to chop off David's head. Was the same sword that David used to chop up the head of the enemy. Look, the weapons that they brought to destroy you with will end up being the weapon that God will use to destroy them in the mighty name of Jesus. I know their lawyers are smart. I know their lawyers are very wise. But when they get in front of the judge, they will commit a mistake. They will say something wrong that will end up being on your side. It's not over. It's not over. Turn to someone and tell them, it's not over yet. Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Don't write my obituary yet. It's not over. Because the one that trusts God, the one that believes God, is always the one. They said, he that laughs last, laughs best. Turn to someone and tell them, laughter is coming your way. In the name of, hey, glory to God. They got hold of him, cut off his head, and every other person took off and ran. You've been running for too long. Now your enemies will start running after today. In the mighty name of Jesus, taking the shield of faith wherewith you, little you, wherewith you, you who think you are nobody, wherewith you shall be able to quench. That sounds like a Nigerian language. It sounds like broken English. Quench. Quench. Quench them. It quench them. Quench it. It quench it means put it out. Put it out. All the fires that are burning towards you, by the time they hit your faith, they will be quenched. In the mighty name of Jesus. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we. We will trust. And remember him. Because his name is power. His name is victory. His name is deliverance. In the mighty. In the name of Jesus. Do you know what I find all through the scriptures? God keeps calling us. All through the scriptures, that if you want to win the battle, you've got to trust me. If you want to win the battle, you've got to walk by faith. If you want to win the battle, you've got to walk by faith. Above every other thing you do. Let me show you some scriptures very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 8, chapter 5, verse 8, verse 9. And then we'll go to Matthew 17. You'll see all through scripture after scripture, God is calling us, just believe, just believe. Just believe. Just trust me. Just believe. Just believe. Just trust me. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now how do you overcome him? Look at verse 9. Whom resist how? Steadfast in the faith. Now that means that he's not easy to dislodge. You've got to be steadfast. All right? That means that when he comes, he won't want to go. But you've got to be steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I have a friend in Atlanta, Georgia. He now lives in Dallas, Texas. Got married for many, many, many years. Couldn't have children. And it gets to a point where you just give up. And then God told them. Who was behind it? It was her grandmother. Her grandmother vowed that she will never have a child of her own. And I told the husband and I told the wife, I said, you know what we see you through? Your faith. Not even your fasting. Not even your praying. Not even all those things, but your faith. Because you can fast and not have faith. You can pray and not have faith. You can live holy and not have faith. I said, your faith will see you. I remember that month of May. I went to Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't go there to pray. I just had an impression in my mind that tonight is the night when we need to destroy this thing. Faith just came all over me. And I called him and his wife. I said, when Mr. Johnson that they were living with is asleep, you come downstairs and let's do some warfare. And they came downstairs and we prayed. Guess what happened that night? Never seen anything like this. That night, the woman had a dream. She woke up and told us, in the dream, a bird flew into the room. And the bird was, how about dust their neck? Looking for her. Finally, the bird found her. And she was sitting like this. And the bird wanted to come and go inside her. And if the bird went inside her, she'll never have a child again. This was silly. This is after over 10 years of marriage. She said in the dream, as the bird was coming, she said, what kind of foolishness is this? This bird wants to get inside me. She said she just went down and held the neck of the bird and strangulated it. in the name of Jesus. And then she woke up. Say, what kind of dream is this? Guess what happened? That very day, before evening, they called them from Africa that the grandmother is dead. The grandmother is dead. Let me tell you something. I'm not here to kill anybody. But those who need to die will die. Now don't say I killed them. Because you are the one who said amen. But those who need to die need to die. Those who need to die will die. And the problems they brought in your life will die with them in the name. Hey! That month, she became pregnant. She became pregnant. They knew she was pregnant. Ah, there's battle in this world. They knew she was pregnant. They sent somebody from Africa. How come? Now this one will have to take one-on-one. Alright? If we cannot keep the chicken from laying an egg, then we should keep the chicken from hatching the egg. That is what spiritual wickedness does. And he was coming. And he said, sir, what do I do? I said, what did Jesus do? When they said Herod, I said, go to Egypt. I said, go to Egypt. Send your wife to Egypt. He said, where is Egypt? I said, my house. My wife can tell you this. I said, my house. So I personally went to Atlanta, Georgia. Carried the big load. Because now she was about 5-6 months pregnant. Hauled her to my house. The only bad thing is that she had a cold. And I ended up catching the cold. But that's good. If that's the price I have to pay, I'm willing to pay. So I moved. We moved out of one room and let her have one room until this man came and they went to pick him at the airport and he said, "Where's your wife? Why is it that she did not come to meet me?" And say, "Hey, uncle, she's out of town. She's out of town. Can I reach her where she is?" I said, "No problem. Give them my phone. They will not reach me. She be you will call and I will not pick it up." The phone rang and rang and rang and rang. Say, the owners of the house, I don't know where they went. That's, after the man left, my phone came back in service. You got to use wisdom with your faith. You got to use wisdom with your faith. Huh? Said, resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. That means sometimes you say, go, and it doesn't go. Have you ever had problems where you say, in the name of Jesus, and it just stand there just looking at you like this. In the name of Jesus. And it's also saying, in the name of Jesus. And it's, and you say, I rebuke you. And it's also saying, I rebuke you too. Ah, he said, this one passed my power. This one passed my strength. And he said, go. And he said, you too. Sortie. Allez! Say, you are speaking French? But you know what you do? Stand your ground. Steadfast. Ah, God will dig you deep. Ah, you didn't hear my prayer. I said, God will dig you deep. Will make you steadfast. Unshakable. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of these things will not go when you say go. So he said, faith will help you. Steadfast in faith. Let me show you another scripture that Jesus himself vocalized in Mark chapter 17. Matthew 17 rather. In verse 19. Somebody had brought a spirit possessed child to his disciples. And they couldn't cast it out. So Jesus came and they went to Jesus and asked him a question. In verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? You know what he said? He said unto them, because of your unbelief. What? You mean the reason we couldn't cast the spirit out is because of our unbelief? He said, yeah, that's it. Not because you are not prayerful. You're prayerful. But you are filled with unbelief. Not because you are not saved. You are saved. But you are filled with unbelief. Not because you are not righteous. You are righteous. But you are filled with unbelief. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and you say, From today, you'll begin to say and it shall be established. Did you hear what I said? You'll begin to speak and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. And I said, that's why? Because of your unbelief. He said, but this one or this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. You know what fasting does? Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes you. Fasting increases your faith. That's basically what it does. It increases your faith and helps you to be able to trust God. Because if you are hungry for something, you are crazy about that thing. And then in 1 John 5:4, let me read it to you. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Even our faith. It is our faith that overcometh the world. Holiness is good. Righteousness is good. Prayerfulness is good. But you can have all those and not walk in faith. If we are to be more than conquerors, then ladies and gentlemen, we've got to move in faith and manifest faith and walk in faith. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I got 14 more minutes. Let me tell you a little bit about this shield of faith. The shield of faith he's talking about here, listen to me, people. There are two types of shields that the Romans carried around. There is the first shield that is called the ceremonial shield. Everybody say ceremonial shield. The ceremonial shield is a small 2x2 shield that they carry during ceremonies. They etch all kinds of things on it. They may make it look nice. All kinds of engravings. They don't take that one to the battlefield. They only use that one for show. When they want to have a parade, they take that shield like that and they march around. All right? That one doesn't get to the battlefield. Unfortunately, it is that kind of faith and that kind of shield that we carry around. We decorate it with all our works. We decorate it with all our blessings. We decorate it with all our Bible verses and everything. And then we can, don't you see how I'm a man of faith? Don't you see I'm a woman of faith? Don't you see I'm a man of faith? And then we want to carry that to the battle. That's the kind of faith Peter had. You know, Jesus was around. They were riding on the current of his faith. Who is going to touch them when the master is around? So these guys thought they had faith. So Jesus said, well, you know what? I'm going to die. And Peter said, you know what? I'm a man of faith. Number one, not only will you not die, but if you die, I'll die with you. Jesus looked at him with this kind of shield. This is the kind of shield that you have. That you have. You know, it's funny when I see Christians saying all kinds of things before the war descends. Oh, I trust God. Oh, I'm a man of faith. Oh, I believe God. Oh, I this, I that. When the rubber meets the road. When the rubber meets the road, then they're asking, where is the woman in the Bronx? Where is the woman in the Bronx? You know, heaven helps those who helps themselves. After all, the chicken that they are going to use to rub all over me is made by God. The shaker that they are going to shaker on my head is made by God. So really, I don't see what is wrong in me going to these places to look for help. You see your faith now? Peter said, I'll die with you. And the other, I don't want to call them disciples. The other cronies, that's a better word. The other cronies, yeah. If you die, we die with you too. You know there are some people who don't have any faith. They are just following people in the church. If that one says, God is able, they'll say, God is able. If that one says, he can do it, yeah, he can do it. And then when that one disappears, then Jesus died. Master no more around. And then a little child, a little girl, saw him where he was warming himself by the water. And said, hello? Say yes. Yes. Looks like we know you. Then he said, you have eye problem? You don't know me. Nobody knows me.
Even your accent is Galilean. No. I've been having IVG all night long. That's why I talk like I'm talking. But we saw you with Jesus. No. Who is Jesus? I've never met him. I don't know the man. I've never seen the man. I love Jesus. You know where Jesus Christ was? He just looked like this. And I made eye contact with him. And I told you that what you are carrying around is ceremonial. You are carrying ceremonial. Now that I'm normal, may the Lord deliver us from ceremonial Christianity. And there are too many in churches today. It's ceremonial faith that you have. There are people here, if we are to do bag search. Right now. Right now. If we are to search bags, you better wear gloves. Because in some of your bags, there's rabbit foot. In some of your bags, there are rings. They call them cushion rings. There are some of you right here. There are things around your waist that you carry around. Turn to somebody and tell them, is he lying? Abin Shebi, you know yourself. Abin, don't you know yourself? Don't you know what you have on? The things that you carry around. Those are the ceremonial Christians. All right, they come to church and say, let's go to the woman in the bronze, let's get help, or let's go to Itiola, let's get prayer. And then let's go to Madame Cleo, and let's call 1-900, check me out. These are the ceremonial people, and when they come to church, and Kayode is doing his thing, and Robinson is playing his guitar, their own dance. Yeah. And then you look at it and say, this woman must really have faith. She has nothing. It's all ceremonial. That's not the one it says take up. If you take that one, you will die in the battle. You become a casualty. You know what I'm beginning to find out in Christianity? Many people appear deep, but they are just on the surface. That's the truth. They can quote scriptures. They can say they love God. They can sing. But when the battle really comes, then you know who is who. And you look around like this, they are gone. Even one of the people, who said, if you die, I will die with you. If they kill you, I will die. When they got Jesus, and they grabbed the guy, and they grabbed him by the coat, you know what he did? He said, take my coat. I'm running. Those are the ceremonial Christians. Those are the ceremonial Christians. Those are the ones that will see the battle. Those are the ones that will go to Africa. They are looking for children. And they will knock on the doors of the voodoo people. That's the truth. I had a man and a woman who wanted to get married in our church a few years ago. And I refused to marry them. And eventually they got married. I refused to marry them because I knew something was wrong with the marriage. And the people who performed the marriage fought me. They said, how can you do this? This is what I say. I know what I'm doing. Eventually, they went and got married. So when they came back after many months, they went all over the place. They found nowhere. That's why when anybody leaves this church, I don't fight them. So if they want to come back to me, they know the door is always open. So they came. And we met in Brooklyn on Flatbush in somebody's office there. And we sat down. Then they started exposing themselves. They said, well, you know the one who told me to go to the voodoo woman? The egg that you swallowed. You better confess now so they can pray. I say, you swallow egg? She said, yes. I said, you swallow egg? I said, how can a person swallow egg? She said, I don't know how we did it. He said, it was in hot boiling water. And the woman said, take it. She said, Pastor, when I put my hand in the water, it was as cold as ice. He said, I took the water. I said, well, I took the egg and I put it in my mouth. He said, in one gulp. He said, I swallowed it. I said, is your throat that wide? Ceremonial. And when we are doing praise and worship in the church, the dance, the revelations, the visions, the dreams, the prophecies, you will live long. It's all ceremonial. It doesn't stand in the real battle. Doesn't stand. Turn to somebody and tell them, get the real thing. Get the real thing.
And so that's the ceremony. But there's a battle shield. And God will give it to you. And you will not drop it on the way. That's a, you see, the battle shield is made like a door from top to bottom. That's why the man of God said, he compasses me about with favor like a shield. Compasses me about. It's the whole size of a whole door that goes in front of you in the battle. So that no, you are, it's like you are hiding behind something. Oh, faith is good enough to hide you. Faith is good enough to protect you. Faith is good enough to keep you. It said, like a shield, you stand behind it like that, and you are going in the battle. And you know one thing about this shield? It's not an ordinary shield. It's a shield made out of wood, and then they put leather, layers, about six layers of leather on top of it. All right? And then, listen to this, they have to clean it every day to maintain the leather. Because if they don't maintain the leather will break. And the arrows will go through the wood. You know why we are so weak? We don't maintain ourselves. There's no spiritual maintenance. Some of you will wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning. And then you just jump out of bed like a dog. Who doesn't pray? And when you remember to, by the time you remember, you're already in front of the mirror. Okay, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, a member of fresh anointing. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. That's your prayer. Huh? You don't have shield. Quiet time. What is quiet time? What do they call quiet time? Read your Bible, pray. What is prayer? And then when we say, oh, we go to pray, 3 hours, we go to pray. He said, well, they are pastors. But for us, I remember one pastor who wants to kill all his members. He said, you people don't fast. I will do the fasting for you. He said, you people don't pray. I will do the praying for you. You just go and walk. Bring the money to me. I will take care of the rest for you. Oh, this thing is personal. It's personal. It's personal. It's personal. When you go to bed at 2 a.m., you say, I sleep late and I wake up late. Hey, where are you? You will not maintain your leather. This thing is leather, but it can crack. You got to maintain your faith. Maintain it through prayer. Once in a while, do some fasting. Once in a while, be in church and hear the word of God. That's how you maintain it. And you know what they do when they go to the battlefield? They dip it inside the water. They soak it. They soak it well, well. Ah, may your faith be soaked well, well. So that when the fiery darts of the wicked come, the water is already there. Just quench it all. And you know what I love about this? It is attached to the belt. So that when you are not using it, it's right there on the belt. On the belt. Are you getting where I'm going? The belt. Listen. The belt is not attached to the shield. Rather, the shield is attached to the belt. Oh, you say, why are you making such a big deal out of that? I'll tell you in a minute. The belt, truth. You see, faith without truth is presumption. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your faith, the shield, has got to be attached to the truth. If it is not grounded, if it is not grounded in the truth, it is presumptuous and it will end in destruction. Don't do like the pastor in Nigeria. University of Ibadan. Zoo. Lion's den. I don't know what got into him. I don't know what he ate for dinner. I don't know what he ate for breakfast. He said, I'm going to prove that he said, we have authority over all the creatures of God. Dominion. So it is lions then that you want to go and prove your own dominion. That's faith that is not grounded in the word of God. It's grounded in presumption. So he went and got to the lions then. And everybody was looking at the lions. And lions were looking at them. And then rolling their eyes. And you drawing their tongue like that, this will be nice food, especially that one over there with pot belly. That one over there is so slim. One crunch and she's gone. And the lion over there, everybody was taking picture. Kara, kara, kara. What a nice thing. Faith without belt. The man just came with his Bible in his hand. And he started to climb the wall of the den of the lion. And everybody looked at him and said,
What's happening? They thought it was one of the zookeepers. Even the zookeepers have enough sense not to do that. Before you knew it, this man had jumped in the lion's den. And then he opened the scripture. You see? He will send his angels. Send his angels to protect you. After you have just fought with your wife before you came, he will send the angels. I'll give you power over scorpions and serpents and over all the power. When he jumped in the lion's den, the lion moved back like this. I said, what is this? And then he stood there and said, you see, the lion is moving back. I told you, there's power here. And the lion said, the key of his head has got lost. And then the lion went for the last time. You know, sometimes you don't pray and God blesses you. But this one is the devil that brought him. To cut a long story short, that was the last time he lived on the face of the earth. See, let your faith be grounded in the truth. When your faith is hooked, hallelujah, when your faith is what? Hooked to the truth, there is no power. Everybody say no power. Say it again, say no power. There is no power on earth or in hell that will be able to overcome you. But you've got to be grounded in the belt, in the truth. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. As we close, I want you to pray one prayer. You know, the disciples went to Jesus one day. They say, everything you did, you do it right. Everything you command is commanded. Everything you wish is wished. Help us. Please increase our faith. They did not ask him to increase their prayer life. They did not ask him to increase this or increase that. The one thing they asked God through Jesus to increase was their faith. And if there's any prayer I need to pray, are you listening to me? If there's any prayer you need to pray, is that God will take your faith higher to a level where you can stand in front of Goliaths and be a conqueror. Where you can stand in front of serpents and scorpions and be a conqueror. And you know what is so funny? If that man had just chanced upon a lion, all right? If he had just chanced upon a lion, like William Branham did. He was working as a zookeeper. And the other zookeeper got careless. He opened the lion's den. He did not close it when he left after feeding the lion, and the lion escaped. So William Branham had a gun in his pocket. And he was just walking around doing his rounds in the zoo. Suddenly, face to face, like where Elijah is to where I am, face to face with a lion. The king of the jungle and the one that is always hungry. Abraham said, he said, I looked at the lion and I said, what? How did this lion get out of the lion's den? This is death facing me here. Can I say something to you? Even when death faces you, faith can give you the victory over death. You know, sometimes we start writing people's obituary before they even die. Not knowing that if they can manifest and walk in faith, God can tell death, go back to your den. So he said he looked at a lion. And the lion said, what's the next natural reaction? Is fear. It's fear. God will deliver us from fear. And then the next natural reaction is to turn around and run. Let me tell you something. You cannot outrun these people. They've been running before you were born. They will outrun you. But there's something they cannot overcome, and that is faith. He said he looked at a lion and he said, God, give me what to say. He said he looked at a lion and talked to the lion. And he said, lion, true story, I am very, very sorry that I disturbed your peace. I know you are lying quietly there enjoying yourself. And I chanced upon you. If I shoot you, my gun cannot work on you. It's too small. It's a small gun. He said, but I got a gun. and it's the word of God. True story. He looked at the lion and said, "Lion, when you were made, I was my own great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Gave you the name of a lion. If we could give you your name, we have dominion over you." And he said, "I say by the word of God." He said, "He has given me dominion over all the works of his hand, over all his creatures. You will not kill me. I will not kill you. But you will go back into your den. So I command you, hey, in the name of Jesus. Now go down there and go to sleep. And we'll escort you, carry you into your den." So after he said that, go to sleep. Lion just shook like this and took a step and took another step and took his tongue out and went. Have you ever quoted scripture? Huh? Have you ever quoted scripture? Huh? And it doesn't work? Have you ever tried to play Mega Million? And you quote Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path to the right numbers. And you thought you had the right numbers. 17, 23, 8, 5, 7. And then you run to the people next door. 17, 18, 15, 23, 7. You even miss it before you got there. And then on Friday, that's why you don't come to Friday meeting again. Because at 11, the news must come out. And then you stand by your TV. This is it. This is it. Faith never fails. Not that kind of faith. So he said he stood there. Quoted scripture. He said the lion just kept coming. Lion just kept coming. He said when the lion was about 3 feet from where he was, the lion jumped up. And instead of leaping forward, he just went right down and fell asleep. Just fell asleep. He said, to be honest with you, even I myself, I was shocked. Have you ever been surprised, even though you trust God, that this is how it was? He said the thing just went down and slept. People who are looking at him were already writing his obituary. People who are looking at him were already saying this man is dead, this man is gone. But the man that has faith, you cannot write his obituary. The man that has faith, in spite of the lion that is in front of him, you cannot say his end has come. So it called the other zookeepers. They carried the lion, put it back in his den, shut the door, and then the lion woke up. You know, those who are already writing your obituary, and those who are already saying it's finished for you, those who are already saying you are too melodramatic, you are this and that, that you are going to be put to shame, they're going to ask you, where is your God? You know what? They will come back to you. And they say, we want to serve your God because your God never fails. Say, oh Lord, say, increase my faith. Rise up on your feet and pray that prayer this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Come on, open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord to increase it, to increase it. Your faith can be increased. Your faith can be moved forward. Oh Lord, increase my faith this morning. I wanted to tell the Lord, deliver me from all fear. Deliver me from all unbelief. Deliver me from all double-mindedness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take away from me all doubt. Take away from me all unbelief. Take away from me all double-mindedness. Come on, open your mouth and pray and tell God, make me a believer in your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me to trust in your word. Help me to stand on your word. No matter what faces me, no matter what I face, help me, Lord God, that my trust will always be in you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, help me this morning. Increase my faith in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wanted to pray this morning. Tell the Lord, help me to trust your word more. Help me to read your word more. Help me to meditate on your word more. Help me to believe your word more than I presently do. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, help me to fall in love with your word. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, oh God,
Lord, touch my heart in the mighty name of Jesus and break all doubt, break all unbelief, break all double-mindedness out of my heart this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I wanted to pray. I'm not going to give you any more prayer point. That's all I'm going to give you, that the Lord will increase your faith, that the Lord will increase your faith. That was what the disciples prayed for in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, take my faith higher, make my faith stronger in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Take away all doubt. Above all, help me to take this shield of faith and not just be carrying ceremonial shield all over the place. Help me to put down the ceremonial shield and put the battle shield on in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let my faith be attached to your word in the name of Jesus. Take away all doubt from me, all unbelief. Take away all double-mindedness from my life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, help me this day in the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth and talk to the Lord this morning that the Lord will deliver you from doubt and unbelief. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all my doubt, all my unbelief, our absolute unshaking faith in God, let it be my portion, oh God. Increase my faith. Help me to trust in your word. Help me to trust in your faithfulness. In the mighty name of Jesus, the word of God, I told you, is not attached to your faith. Your faith has to be attached to the word of God. Take it up. Take in the shield of faith this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, increase our faith, oh God. Increase our faith, oh God. Help me to go forth and exercise it and stand on your word and spend time in it and meditate on it and memorize it and hear it preached and taught in the mighty name of Jesus. And then go forth and use it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Break all doubt from our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm not going to ask you to ask God to give you faith. We all have it. We just need it to be increased. So I wanted to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning for the deposit of faith that is already in me. By knowing you, I'm a man or a woman of faith. And I bring myself to you right now that all doubt, all unbelief, all double-mindedness, and all fear that I've entertained in my life, take them away in the name of Jesus. Father, like the apostles prayed, I pray to you today, increase my faith, 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 increase my faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, by the grace of God, from this day on, everywhere I go, I will carry my shield. I will use my shield. Every day when I wake up, I will polish my faith by praying, by having quiet time, by studying the word. I will polish my faith and soak it in the word of God so that when I go out there, whatever meets me will meet faith in me. So help me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, I just pray for everyone. And I pray for myself also. The Holy Spirit knew what he was saying when he told Paul to write, that above all, taking the shield of faith. Unfortunately, we confess this morning, Lord God, that that which you said should be above all happens to be the least of all in our lives. Father, change that this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus. That faith will spring up in our hearts like never before and will increase. Help us to fall in love with this belt of the word of God and let our faith be hooked to this word so that whenever we need to use our faith, we'll remember what the word says. And we know that the word never fails. Consequently, our faith will never fail. Lord, in the frailty of the flesh, I have preached to your people. I pray, Lord God, that you will go home with them and apply this message to where they are, to where they live, and to the fears that they are entertaining in their lives. And let them know that the one that believes God, with them, nothing shall be impossible. Whatever impossibilities are facing your people this afternoon, I pray that their faith in you will give them the victory. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, everybody said, everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand as you take your seats.